Welcome to episode 79 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. Many people are under the impression that being a photographer offers a somewhat glamorous life. And while it's true that a select number of photographers do get to jet set around the globe, that's not necessarily how the great majority earn their livings. In this week's show, I'm on the road again, this time sharing a few thoughts about time. More precisely, I'm addressing the matter of just how much time is taken up during the course of undertaking an assignment, as well as in my day-to-day activities. People often forget about what goes on behind the scenes, all the hours of coordinating shoots, travelling between locations, editing pictures, dealing with admin duties and more. But for me, that's all part of the job and the reason why, if you'll pardon the pun, I believe it's important to keep the bigger picture in mind. So, here we go then. Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 79. So I want to talk a little bit about time and just how time or how much time is used being a photographer taking care of business surrounding a shoot. Now, as I record this, I am driving down the A3 that connects Hampshire and Surrey and what have you here in the UK, and as I record this, it is a few days after this year's Goodwood Festival of Speed. Now, I've already spoken on the podcast recently about the Festival of Speed, and I may well allude to it again in near future podcasts, and I don't know exactly when this recording is going to go live just yet. But I want to take as my starting point the Festival of Speed. And just for those of you that don't know, the Festival of Speed is a yearly event held at Goodwood in West Sussex in the UK. And it's surrounding motoring. So it's everything from supercars to past and present Grand Prix cars. There's extreme sports. It is a really good event. And of course, I'll be linking to it in the show notes. Now, to give you an idea, that event is a four-day event. It starts on a Thursday and finishes on a Sunday night. Now, much aside from actually being on my feet solidly for all of those days taking photographs, there's a lot that goes into it with the planning and the follow-up after the event. So, just to give you an idea, the Thursday, I tend to turn up in the sort of middle to late afternoon and sort of get my bearings and set up and what have you. And I always photograph the fireworks display, which happens in the evening. This is usually scheduled for around about 10 o'clock in the evening. And, you know, it goes on for maybe half an hour, but before that, there is, obviously I have to think about the photographs I'm about to take and what equipment I need. On this occasion I was using a tripod, one camera and one lens. So that was great. The fireworks went on for about half an hour. And once I was done there, that was really not much left of the day. So I didn't do any editing or anything. I backed up my pictures. But then I looked ahead to the following day. So the following day was the Friday, and it started with something like a 6:30 or 6:15 a.m. alarm. And once I was on site and I checked my brief and spoke to, because I was working directly with Goodwood, as I always do, checking what needed to be doing, thinking about timings and the logistics of moving around that site, because it is held at the site of Goodwood House, which has many acres of ground surrounding it. thinking about the logistics of where I needed to be, not just across that Friday, but across the whole of the weekend that followed. So that took, I don't know, sort of 20 minutes, half an hour by the time, probably longer by the time I got to the site, to the press office, spoken to the people that I needed to, signed in and all the usual things. I then had essentially from, I don't know, probably from about 9.30 or 9 o'clock through to about 6.30, 7 o'clock, just constantly on my feet, shooting pictures, talking to people, looking at my brief, rescheduling because people were meant to be in certain places at certain times. So, for example, I went in, was it that day or was it Friday? There were sort of Grand Prix drivers, for example, that I had photographed, people like Sebastian Vettel. I was told, oh, he's going to be here at a certain time, so I needed to double check with the organisers, check with the people on the stand that he was going to be putting in an appearance. All these things take time, and it's not unusual for my schedule at a live event to change throughout the course of the event, and even throughout the course of the day or the morning. So that was, you know, sort of the Friday morning, what have you. The Saturday was a case whereby there were fireworks in the evening. So again, I'd finished what I needed to do by about 7 o'clock. Went and had something to eat, knowing that the fireworks were going to be about 10.30. And I had actually planned to go and photograph at night in the paddocks on the Friday evening to do a bit of a recce, to have a look at the location, knowing where the fireworks were going to be. I'd planned to do that on the Friday night, but it absolutely poured down with rain. The closer that I walked to the paddock, with every step, it seemed like the rain was getting harder. So that was a case whereby I had to reschedule and think about how that implicated what I was going to do the following night. So in the event, I shot the fireworks on the Saturday. I did record some audio for you guys. I'm not quite sure, because I haven't had a chance to listen back to it yet. I don't know quite how it's going to sound, because the fireworks obviously are quite loud, which isn't usually a problem, but I also got interruptions from other people, and it may or may not see the light of day. So that was that. So I got done by about 11 o'clock, something like that, in the evening, and that was basically that day done with. Sunday was a case of, again, just getting on with photographing and what have you, finished normal time. Got back to back things up. By the time I had spoken to colleagues and tidied up odds and ends, loose ends and what have you, I basically got back to base at about 11 o'clock that night. And to be honest, I really wasn't too keen to be spending any more time doing anything. I'd already backed up stuff, all my pictures, in a couple of locations over the course of the weekend, so that wasn't an issue. I didn't need to do that to save time. But then from Monday, and as I record this, it's a Thursday, from the Monday to the Wednesday, I was literally editing solid. The whole of my time was spent just editing pictures, and we're talking thousands of pictures, to the point whereby I didn't even get time to check how many, but I think the final edit, the supplied images, was somewhere in the region of probably about 1,500 pictures. Now, bear in mind that on a typical shoot, I'll be editing out somewhere between 2/3 of all images, so that you don't have duplicates, you get rid of shots where maybe people were blinking, or just keeping in the most favourable pictures in the selection. So
as if 3 days solid editing wasn't sort of enough, the event was larger and my brief took in more this year, so that actually what I ended up doing, and you can hear me yawning probably, was actually put in one all-nighter. I think it was on the Tuesday night, where I actually didn't go I didn't go to bed that night. I just worked solid without sleep through the night. Now, just a word of caution, any of you that are thinking a photography is glamorous, that should tell you that it's not always. And B, for those of you that are working for yourselves, it's not worth killing yourself trying to get work completed or to meet a deadline. You have to allow for want of a better word, recovery time. Now, as I say, I'm recording this on the Thursday, and I must be honest, I don't have the luxury today of, excuse me, yawning, I don't have the luxury of having Thursday to recuperate. I have a slightly quieter end to the week, and then of course there's part of the weekend to relax and what have you. But it is worth bearing in mind that if you are going to be working solidly from essentially for 7 days or 6 days, you really do need to look after yourself. I don't drink really much caffeinated hot drinks. I drink a lot of water, green tea. It's important to make sure that you eat well, and in all honesty, the weekend itself wasn't, it's never one of my, it's never can be described as the pinnacle of of nutrition whilst on the go, but just bear that in mind. But so the time that is sucked up through the shoots, the shooting time, photography time itself, the preparation, the editing of the images, and then the supply. Now, I had today, I had other commitments, which meant I haven't been able to supply the pictures directly. And a lot of the time, I will either supply the pictures online for an immediate download, or if that's not suitable, I will drop discs of images in to the client, and that's what I usually would do with Goodwood. But as I say, I had other commitments today, which meant one of my colleagues was able to, on the way through to drop his discs in, was able to collect mine and do that for me. So that was really very good of him. In terms of the day-to-day, just as an aside, in terms of the day-to-day running of my business, one of the things that I've been looking into more recently is the structure of my business, not just the clients that I work with and the specific industries, the sectors that I work with, but the amount of time that is taken up day to day, week on week, and therefore month on month, with all the small details, all the to and fro, the email, the phone calls, the follow-ups, the planning, the scheduling, and what have you. And as regular listeners will know, and regular followers of the Active Photographer website will know, I'm always very keen to share links to people, products, websites, videos, anything like that that I find particularly useful, of interest, and of use and interest to you guys. And so today I want to let you know about, well, someone that I've mentioned in the past, a guy called Timothy Ferris, who a lot of you will probably know of. He's a best-selling author and some would say guru of lifestyle design. But I've been recently reading... Well, you probably will have heard me talk about his second book, which was called The 4-Hour Body, which I have used to great effect, actually, when it comes to general well-being, exercising, working out, thinking about nutrition, and my general sort of overall well-being as a photographer, always on the go and making sure I look after myself. Again, I'll link to that in the show notes here. And also, I did actually do a podcast recording centered around that, and I'll link to that as well. It was some months ago now. But his first book, which I recently got, was called The 4-Hour Workweek. And it is just fantastic. It is, again, much like The 4-Hour Body, it talks about how you can restructure and turn your work practice upside down on its head to work better for you. For example, it's silly little things which some of you will have already implemented just because you found that it works and suits you better. Others of you won't have. Things like with email, if you're in front of a desk all day, so for example, if I'm having a day of admin and I'm maybe editing or what have you, or doing online content, it's very easy to check your email every 5 minutes, you know, whenever you see a ping update come in. When I say a ping, I don't mean ping as in the service online, just an audible update to say you've got a new email. And it's very easy to get distracted. So off the back of reading what he suggested, for example, only checking your emails, say, twice a day at 12 o'clock and 4 o'clock, that can affect your productivity. And he also talks about how you then go on to just can even check them once a week or once a month even, depending on your what your business is. Whether it works for everyone is another matter, but that alone has gained me more time and made me more productive, and it hasn't had any negative effect on what I do, my workflow, and so forth. Amazing advice and the structures that you can put into place for your workflow. To take it one step further, having bought the book and got about three quarters the way through the book, I then decided to buy the audiobook version, which I am now in the process of going through listening to that for the second time in my car as I drive between shoots and when I'm on the road going places and what have you. Again, it saves me time. It makes better use of my time, so that, as a lot of people will tell you, being busy does not necessarily equal being productive. And if I can make my busy time more productive, then I'm going to do that. So I suppose the moral of the story is that a lot of people who are either keen enthusiasts or general members of the public, or a lot of you, I know there's a lot of you that listen to this and follow the website, who are looking to make the jump from keep having photography as a hobby and turning it into a revenue generating stream. Just a word of warning that it's not all glamorous. There are a lot of unsociable hours put in, a lot of effort outside of taking the pictures themselves, and a lot of the time you're not told about that. You only see the good stuff. People talking about how they've been in, I know, the south of France photographing models on a beach, or at a racetrack photographing cars, or they might talk about picture sales, how this one picture gained them £1,200 of income and all the rest of it. That's great, and it does happen. It's by no means the typical lot of a jobbing photographer. But, you know, for what it's worth, as I always say, you can always email me, you can always talk to me on Twitter and Facebook about the real world, and what it is realistically to be a photographer. And one of the elements to that is I just wanted to give you a bit of an insight into the time that it takes to be a photographer. And this is also assuming that, I haven't spoken specifically, but assuming that you've you've got some knowledge with of photography, you've done your, when I say education, I don't mean going to study. I personally don't believe, going through what I have, that the traditional education route at a college or a university is necessarily the best way to do it. One conversation that I had, which I shared with you, and I'll link to that again in the show notes, which was with one of my old lecturers, Hugh Graham. We talked about exactly that, whether studying photography was worthwhile, and I will say I'll link to that and you can have a listen and let me know. It's a very, very interesting conversation, and it has been very well received, and there's been a lot of talk surrounding it. But assuming that you have learnt the craft, and it is a craft, to in order to produce very solid photographs time and time again under pressure, you know, that's a given. And it's also a given that you're also taking an interest, doing research, engaging with the photography community, pushing yourself further to be a better photographer, to look at who's out there, you know, whether it's competitors or photographers maybe on the other side of the world whose work you really admire, and you can not copy what they're doing but learn from. That all takes time as well, but it's also very important. So for example, one of the things that I should do more, and I'm looking to make more time for that, is having time every week whereby I sit down, I don't check emails, I don't make phone calls for a set period of time, where I can just sit there and immerse myself in the magazines that I read, having a look at websites, just researching, having time to research stuff to do with how I'm improving the website, and I'm doing that hopefully all the time. All these things take time, very worthwhile use of time, but you have to have a very tight control on the day-to-day running of things in order to allow you to get out there and make the best pictures that you can, and in so doing keep your clients happy as well as those around you. So, you know, it's one of those things, speaking realistically, I'll be honest, if I was single and I had no other commitments other than just running my business, as was the case when I first started up in business, I would probably now be turning in, going to bed at 2, 3, maybe 4 o'clock in the morning, still starting at sort of 8 o'clock in the following morning, but with other commitments, thinking about relationships and family and all the rest of it, you have to get the balance right. And the last thing you want is to be on the wrong end of a conversation with your other half, trying to justify why you have to be putting in 12, 15, 18 plus hour days, which I have done for many years, and can be quite manageable. But making other people realise why that is justified, and to yourself, justifying whether that is necessary, and thinking about your health, whether it is having a good or bad effect. So, as I say, lots to think about surrounding, this is just surrounding one particular event that I shot at. There's lots coming up over the summer, and also even now, thinking through to October, November, into the winter, activities that I'm going to be engaged in, stuff that I want to be putting out on the website and making podcast recordings about. Lots and lots to think about. So you can see that there is a lot of things taking my time. And it's good to just stop, and just making this recording is a good way for me also to make use of the hour that I'm currently spending in the car on the way back down the road, so that when I do get back to base, and I've still got stuff to do, as I record this it's about coming up to 7:30 in the evening, I've still got work to be doing, so it means that I'm not wasting any time, I'm getting on with things, planning not just for this evening, but thinking ahead to tomorrow. As I say, it's Friday tomorrow, so thinking about the end of the week, the weekend, and looking ahead into the beginning of next week. So busy times, but perfectly manageable. Take a look at the links that I have mentioned, all the Tim Ferriss stuff and the conversation with Hugh and what have you. If you haven't already checked them out, some really, and I'm not just saying this because it's content that I have shared, it's stuff that I've come across and have decided to share because it has been of use to people. So I would encourage you to take a look at that, have a listen and what have you. If you want first person opinion, say for example of the Tim Ferriss books, ask me. I'm always on Twitter, I'm always talking to people about his stuff, always answering questions, and I can only give my own sort of first person views on this stuff, and I will offer you my opinions as they happen. So I've just noticed actually my phone has been ringing, it's on silent, so I do apologise if you've had some interference in the background, what it is to be on the go and busy. So there we go, on that little note I will leave it there.
The week ahead is going to be pretty hectic as I prepare to make a few more changes to the way I operate, no doubt turning to many of you for your feedback. It's all good and I'm really looking forward to getting things in place in order to make this summer as productive as possible. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast.